Has the situation improved?
Yeah. Are we going now?
We're live now. We've been live for like the last 5 minutes.
I want to ask why this is next to your toilet.
Okay.
I just, you know, you have a 10-inch spray template by the toilet.
It's important to measure your spray before you
To be perfectly honest, I was using it as a back scratcher.
Mostly back.
No.
I'm unclean now.
And that's it.
Yep.
All right, well, right did you, I don't know, did you guys say welcome to episode whatever, whatever?
No, I don't even know what episode we're in.
Okay.
I'm not here to help.
What the fuck is going on here? I'm going to go put this back because I'm confused. Welcome to episode 92. I'm Nathan.
I'm Troll Jeff.
I'm Andy.
I'm Dan.
Christ.
It's Monday.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Next week's War Machine weekend. That's exciting.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big announcement.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the next weekend after this episode because we're recording on Monday.
If we don't want to get into an argument about the next weekend meeting, then yes, November
7th
through the 9th is War Machine weekend.
This weekend is Halloween. Next weekend is War Machine weekend. You can't even argue this weekend, this time, because we're on Monday. If we were on Sunday, we could fight.
Yeah.
To the death.
You could do that anyways. It'd be kind of fun.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Fight to the death with Tim Tams.
Four Tim Tams.
Oh, that's an announcement. More countries are sending us food.
That's I endorse this idea.
So we had Germans 2 weeks ago now? Just last week?
Last week.
Last week. Oh, but I was here again because we watched a terrible movie. But Germans last week, and now Australians this week, and then Pip said he was going to send us some British stuff. So we're just going to keep getting an influx of food from various countries.
I was going to say something horrible, and I decided not to.
We just created a whole new segment.
Crippled system eats crazy foods.
Not saying something horrible.
I usually hold back. It's generally everybody else on the podcast that doesn't hold back.
That is true. I hate this microphone. I'm not used to the height of this. I don't have my microphone. I think this is Jeremy's or Brian's or somebody's.
Why don't you like that microphone?
Because it's at a different angle.
You can adjust that.
I know. Well, I tried, but it was noisy and it was stiff, and then I just left it alone.
That's what Relaine said.
About my penis.
Yes,
gotcha. I understood that reference. So I have food. That's my announcement. War Machine weekend is next weekend. Halloween is this weekend. We don't have any events coming up, do we?
Nothing much coming up. War Machine Weekend is pretty much
I can say this. The Steamroller beta exists. Talk to your local press ganger about trying it out on a local night or an event. That's the extent of my details about the beta, is that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a Sasquatch sighting.
Yeah.
Saw the beta.
Yeah, I saw it. Go talk to your local hunter about Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Actually, go talk to your local press ganger about Sasquatch.
So, Andy, tell me about Sasquatch.
Sasquatch? Ah, he is my friend.
There's nothing you've never seen before.
Sasquatch is something I've never seen before.
Thank you. I didn't want that Venture Brothers line to just flop out there like a dead dick, but it was.
Well, I was going to try to... I was trying to remember a Tenacious D reference, and I couldn't. All I know is that Sasquatch was their drummer for a little bit before Dave Grohl joined them and screwed up their music.
And turned it into jazz?
No. they did that.
But, I know but they I mean, did.
But I don't know. I don't like the full... I like just the two guitars version of Tenacious D.
Sure. Not the full band.
Some of their stuff with the full band was okay, but yeah, I could... You said before it was too high.
No, I didn't.
And now you put it higher.
No, I said it was the wrong height.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can go on about Tenacious D. Don't let my microphone distract you.
No, I was pretty much done with that topic. It wasn't much further than that, other than I don't like what Dave Grohl did to Tenacious D.
Well, I kind of felt that's one of those bands that is better the less hard it tries. Like, it really needs to just not try to... much, and then it ends up being better as a result.
Yeah, I like their show is much better when it was just on HBO.
Yeah.
And, you know, just doing those there, and they just kind of went too big, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Jack Black when he was a singing milk machine on Mr. Show.
I'm unfamiliar with that, but I can put the pieces together.
They took the old song, the old joke about the traveling salesman and his car breaks down outside a farm and whatever. He goes there for some reason he finds out the farmer's daughter. There's a glory hole basically, and the farmer's daughter is on the other side of the glory hole. And then there's like different glory holes, and like the first one's the first one's really nice, and then the second one's even better, and the third one like rips his dick off. And the farmer explains that the first one was his daughter, the second one was his wife, and the third one was the milking machine. And so this episode of Mr. Show took that and turned it into a musical, like a Broadway extravaganza musical. And Jack Black was the milk machine. And he came out at the end and just sang about the hard life that he has to live as a lonely milk machine out on the farm. Sucking
dick.
It was a
great episode. My other favorite episode of Mr. Show is with the guy who had to run around with the giant sandwich board sign that said, "I'm with rapist."
I love the whole running gag of the like arms race between two competing companies to sell mayonnaise mustard hybrid with mayo stirred mayonnaise, and the commercials they have are amazing. That sequence of the commercial is great, with Abraham Lincoln in a yellow and white striped suit complete with the stovetype hat, like with a machine gun, just liberating slaves from their drudgery of spreading mayonnaise and mustard separately. He's like guns down the slave owners. Oh my god. So good. My other announcement is that Will Hahn, a.k.a. Pip, Matthew Compton, Rohan Davis, and Tristan, whose last name I don't know, are all better than the rest of you because they played Borderlands the pre-sequel with me.
I don't have a PC that can really run that.
My PC is terrible and it runs it fine.
Well, I'm still enjoying the game.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You're just playing it on the PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody at work was talking about buying an Xbox, and I almost punched him in the face. Like, my fiance wants an Xbox One, and I was going to punch her. And I'm like, get a PlayStation. She's like, no, the Xbox is better at multiplayer. And then I killed her.
That actually seems appropriate. That is not an overreaction.
I'm like, how? How is it? And she's like, it is. How? It just is.
Would you like to provide some rationale behind that?
Nope. Nope. She would not.
It's always interesting to check out the sales of the Xbox in Japan.
Please buy this.
And when he says the sales of the Xbox, that's because there's literally one of them. They have one on a KB toy shelf just waiting for somebody to accidentally buy it.
So lonely.
It is really lonely.
They keep putting the PlayStation 4 signs close to it in hope someone gets confused.
It's wearing a disguise.
It's a limited edition.
Yes.
One of my good friends from high school, he ended up getting his kids a new Xbox. And I thought maybe he got him an Xbox One because that might be slightly better. But no, Xbox 360. Just now.
Wow.
Cutting edge.
Well, it's got a bigger library available to it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
If you haven't played the games before, like how old are his kids? Because
they're old enough to play video games.
No, so. Well, then you should just give them a good system instead.
Well, yeah.
Take it back one more step back to the PlayStation 2 or earlier.
PlayStation 2 and Super Nintendo, I think, are the two best platforms as far as game libraries go.
I'll agree with that. I've got some very fond memories of PlayStation 1, but those games did not age well.
Also, PlayStation 2 is fully backwards compatible, that so you're true. Covered.
You still need the PlayStation 1 memory cards, though.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, but, you know, they're there.
The PlayStation is kind of weird. They do that.
When I was in junior high, I bought myself a PlayStation 1, like with my own allowance money and lawn mowing money. I was all excited and everything. And I got home, and the first game I had for it was Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain. Mm-hmm. And I was playing it, and I played for like 12 hours over the weekend. And I called my mom at work, and I said, "Mom, you need to stop and buy me a memory card," because I didn't know about the concept of memory cards. And so I'm like, "You need to get me a memory card on your way home." And then she got home, and she's like, "Oh, they were all sold out. They didn't have memory cards." And the thing was, this was like October, and she thought she was being really clever, and she bought it for me, and she was going to give it to me for Christmas. Oh. So I got to play those first 12 hours of Blood Omen again.
That's much better than my PlayStation 1 story, which is pretty much the same thing, where I saved up all my money to buy a PlayStation. I knew I had to have a memory card, but I didn't think about having the money to buy a game. So for 2 weeks straight, I played the demo disc that came with it until my mother finally felt bad about it and picked me up a game.
What game?
Ogre Battle, the re-release.
There you go. Yeah. At least it was a good game.
I played the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there's no really beating that game if you do anything else. Like, I beat the game for the first time. It's like, yeah, we're glad you helped out the nation. By the way, you weren't good enough. We're going to murder you. Like, what?
What?
What do you mean? Like, well...
Do better.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't evil enough to be a tyrant, but I wasn't good enough to be the replacement king. So, you know, like, we can't have anybody else knowing you helped the revolution. So, sorry, you gotta go.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Basically, that's how it cut out. It's like, and we're gonna kill you, huh?
Here's probably a good topic we should talk about. Is what video game from your childhood would you like to see remade into a 3D?
Unfortunately,
a new version.
My answer for the last 20 goddamn years did. A year ago.
Bionic Commando?
XCOM.
Oh, yeah.
XCOM. Mm. For like 20 years, I constantly said if they re-released XCOM with updated graphics, it would be the greatest game ever because it already is the greatest game ever. And then they did. So I don't have a new one yet.
I have one. You touched upon it. I want the Legacy of Kain series to be rebuilt as an HD remix, especially Soul Reaver, because Soul Reaver is such a good game.
I remember I forget because it bounced back and forth between the two series. I forget which one it was. I think it was Soul Reaver 2, where I had a buddy come up and we were playing it together. Even though it's a single player game, like we both were so hardcore in the series, we were basically like handing off the controller between levels so we could both just experience the story together, almost like watching a movie. Yeah. But one of us had to help the movie along. And when we got to the point where they revealed that it was Raziel's fault that Malik wasn't there in the opening cutscene of the first game, we both like shit our pants and freaked out. It was such an amazing plot twist. Like, that was like Sixth Sense dead the whole time, mind blowing to the two of us.
Yeah.
And my first wife at the time was just like, "You two are such nerds." Like, she was just like, "Oh my god, you losers."
Yeah, no, that series needs an HD remake. I mean, to bring it back into play.
And Rene Auberjonois.
He's Odo from
Deep Space Nine.
Oh,
yeah, he was in it. He was Yanos Aldrin.
Oh, okay,
yeah, they had a really good voice cast. I mean, that was back in the PlayStation 2 days, and the voice acting of that was just immense. Well,
Tony Jay as the Elder God,
yeah,
and he is like that. His voice, like you've got like your Vincent Price and your James Earl Jones and your Tony Jay, like those are those like iconic voices.
Yeah.
Even people who don't know who Tony Jay is, I guarantee in their head they have a dozen of his performances that are their favorite voices they've ever heard.
Yep.
Yeah, just one of those voices like butter.
Yeah. So what else? Megabyte? He was Megabyte.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, God. So good.
There's a show that if you ever tried to go back and watch Reboot. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's not the worst held up. It's not the worst as far as nostalgia holding up. I've had worse. I made the terrible mistake of watching a rerun of Hong Kong Phooey, which I loved when I was a little kid, and that is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's what the relaunch of the original Thundercats did to me. I remember loving as a kid, and Toonami got it. I was going to watch it, and I watched like an episode and go, oh.
What?
Oh.
Hey, but on the other hand, Masters of the Universe that was from the 80s, that's horrible. I cannot stand watching that. But the Masters of the Universe, the remake that came out like mid-2000s, that was actually pretty solid.
I've heard a lot of those reboots have turned out really good. Like even the Thundercats like reboot was supposed to be really solid. But
I'll set Andy up. Hey, Andy, what's one of your favorite villain lines immediately before executing somebody?
It was with Skeletor. He kidnapped King Randor, and he was about to... He was like, "King Randor, would you please scream while you fall down this cliff? Because I want to know how deep this hole goes."
I've always wondered how deep this is.
Yeah. Oh my god, so good.
Yeah.
No, the original episode of the new series is pretty decent. I haven't gotten past that point because I've only shown everybody else the first like, three episodes. But they're so good, though. They're
fucking Mechaneck.
Mechaneck is pretty much the most useless hero ever because they have Stratos right there.
Yeah, he's like, "My power is my neck can be long, so I can see over this slightly inconvenient hedge." And this other dude's like, "I can fly? Yeah, but my neck is slightly longer."
He does headbutt somebody.
Yeah.
Fucking neck and neck.
They're going to find some sort of contrived use for it. They've got to, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, watch me look over this fog.
I think headbutting someone and looking over a hedge are literally the only two possible uses for Mechanek's power.
Or Peeping Tom.
Well, that was covered under the hedge thing, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, She-Ra's always like, "Is Mechanek around? Where's Mechanek at?"
So, a couple people mentioned Mega Man Legends.
You know, I've never gotten a chance to play that one. I've always wanted to, but
yeah,
never have.
No. The same buddy I was talking about with the Soul Reaver thing, he had Mega Man Legends, and he played the shit out of it in high school. Yeah. And I never played any of them, but I know some people that are, like, gung-ho religious about those games.
Yeah, I've heard some
games.
Really,
like,
big things about it, and it's a hard game to find nowadays.
Yeah. But, like, the whole series and, like, the Misadventures of Trombone and all the spin-off games, like, these people, like, they get rabid about them the way some people are about, like, the Game of Thrones books and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, Mega Man's huge.
Well, but Mega Man had a really big decline, and Legends was right towards the end of that. Mm-hmm. Like, because you had all these awesome Mega Man games on Nintendo, and they went over to the Super Nintendo and brought out Mega Man X, which was the best thing ever.
Yep.
And they had, like, three or four of those that were really good, and then suddenly Mega Man started, I don't know, running out of ideas or themes to take over. It just started to fade and fall off. You end up with, like, Mega Man, I think 8 was the last one.
8 was the last. Well, 9 and 10 came out eventually, right. But 8 was the last one in the normal run. Although, goddamn, Mega Man 9 is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, because
Mega Man 9, it's fucking amazing.
Because
it's fucking
the fans
hard.
It is. It is hard, but it's Nintendo hard. Like, it's.
Yeah. No.
It's.
Like, you can do it. You just gotta spend your time and take your death.
So,
but all the bosses are fun. The levels are fun. The music's fun. Mega Man 9 is amazing. Ten's good too, but 9, I can play 9 infinitely.
Yeah, no, I like 9. I like 10. They're pretty awesome. Somebody else did mention Double Dragon as well, but Double Dragon already had a HD remake, and that's Double Dragon Neo.
Yeah, I can't help but laugh at that one. It's so 80s kitsch, like the cassette decks and the ridiculous music and the silly hair and costumes. Well, I guess there weren't costumes in the 80s. Those were just clothes.
Do you have one, Dan?
I'm trying to think, because a lot of the games that I like already have had HD remakes. Because I'm like, all right, Metal Gear 1, they redid that, and actually it kind of got ruined because that game was never built with 3D aiming.
See, that's why I'm afraid to recommend things, because
those
screw up my memories.
Twin Snakes was awful compared to the first one, because it was so easy.
Yeah.
The one for the GameCube?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. The graphics were nice, but it was just, like I said, the difficulty of it was built around the fact that you had this terrible aiming system, and then when you could do 3D aiming, it's like, oh, and a tranquilizer gun, you could just sneak through the entire thing so easily. So, I mean, Diablo 2 has been redone several different ways now.
Yeah.
You know, stuff. From,
Torchlight is basically Diablo 2, and then there's other competitors.
Exactly.
Like, I previously mentioned Titan Quest.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
Well, that's the other thing is I have a full generation, I mean, less of games to go off of other than you guys. So I'm just trying to think of stuff that's, you know, I want to go back and play again and see an updated graphics. Most of the older games I like because of the older graphics and stuff.
I miss side scrollers. I miss, you know, like I hated, possibly just because of hipsterism / you know, rejection of things that are different. But I despise the Metroid Prime games because Super Metroid and whatnot, that's Metroid to me. The side-scrolling, you know, the Metroidvania. I don't like the 3D Metroids. I don't like the 3D Castlevanias. I like 2D side-scrolling exploration.
I will say this about Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime does do the 3D right. It feels very much like a Metroid game.
Yeah,
Metroid Prime of that trilogy is definitely the best of the three. And then, like, 2 and 3 are kind of like, look at the things we can do with the technology. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
As opposed to the first one really, really tried to create another Metroid title.
Right.
And I'll be damned, that last boss fight was terror on your thumbs. I don't think I've spoken to a single person who's gone through the last boss fight with their thumbs not covered, like, red and sore.
Not even thumbs, just, like, all your fingers are carpal tunnel. Because you have to be dodging away, which is holding one button. You have to be aiming with one button. You have to be charging with another button.
Yep, and heaven forbid if the thing charges you, because you have to quick hit a different button to sit there and turn into the ball and roll away.
Oh, my God. I'm going to pack up my GameCube.
No, I liked Metroid Prime. I actually do like some of the 3D Castlevanias. Let me clarify, because there's a lot of bad ones.
The first two for the Super Nintendo.
See, I played Castlevania 64, and then I burned the house down around it to
be
safe.
I've heard that's one of those like myths, like Highlander 2. Yeah. People mention it, but it's not real.
God. Or like Star Trek 5.
Right, yeah.
Poor Star Trek V. God, that's the most frustrating thing about Star Trek V is that there's so much potential in it. You know, it's like somebody had, like, they drew, like, the outline to this great thing, and they built, like, they started to build, the skeleton to some amazing ship or something, and they're like, oh, this could be great, and then they just sprayed feces all over it. And you're like, why did you cover up all the good stuff with shit?
Because it's an odd-numbered Star Trek movie?
Hey.
You take that back. Three's fine.
Star Trek 3 is fine.
Yes, that's the one that breaks the rule.
And Star Trek 1's okay if you like four-hour-long, really boring, dry sci-fi. I say that not as a joke. Like, if you enjoyed 2001 A Space Odyssey, Star Trek the Motion Picture, the director's cut that fixes a lot of shit, is actually decent.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just, hey, we're going to go on a drive-by. Look at amazing Enterprise. Oh, there's a guy floating. Yay.
It's a very pretty movie.
It is very fucking pretty. And ominous, too. There's a lot of...
You make it sound more like a guided tour.
It really is more of a guided tour. It's a guided tour of the Enterprise, and then it's a guided tour of V'ger, and then the movie ends.
Oh, all right.
Like, nothing happens in that movie.
Well, Chekhov gets electrocuted.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
And then he gets gets a bug put in his ear, and then he... I forget what happens to him in 3.
He was in it? we just already previously said
and then
that
in 4 he fell off of an aircraft carrier, a vessel. And
a nuclear vessel.
Nuclear vessel.
Say nuclear vessel.
No. I love Walter Kenning. My favorite joke in that one, not that that one's good too, but the one where the person's like, "Do people who hate Star Trek get to leave?"
And no, Kenning's like, "No, you have to stay twice as long."
Kenning's like, "Well, the person says, do people who hate Star Trek get to leave?" And Kenning immediately goes, "That's a good question." Because Kenning sure hates Star Trek.
After Star Trek, I became a well-rounded person and an actor.
He was good in Babylon 5. Apparently people just have no response to that. I think I'm the only person in this room who watched.
Well, we had a conversation before about Babylon 5. Like, I tried to watch it, and it just did not sink its teeth into me, and so it just turned into alien soap opera, and I ignored it.
Season 1 is the mandatory research assignment to be able to enjoy the genius that is seasons 2, 3, and 4.
See, and that's the thing is, I didn't do my homework then.
Yeah. So. Well, it's like, did you watch any more Parks and Recreation after we talked about it?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
It's on my to-do, but...
Bully your way through a half dozen more mediocre episodes and then get to the genius.
All right. I better unwrap season 2 and be like a kid opening an N64 on Christmas.
Yes.
All right.
It's like a kid getting the banana.
A kid opening an N64 nowadays.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Hey, to be fair, I could turn that sucker around real fast.
Yeah,
like
if it was still a new one in box, it'd just be like, "Yay, college!"
With Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, I mentioned that the game that I liked from a kid that I was looking, I put in a I put my name down on a list at the local used game shop for them to call me when a copy came in of Metal Warriors, and they called me and they're like, "Yes, we have it. That's the good news. The bad news is it's super rare, so it's $200." And I said, "Never mind. Let somebody else give you $200. I'll download an emulator." But Raylene, after hearing that story, she looked around to see if she could find it cheaper, like as a Christmas present or whatever. Yeah. And she said that not only could she not find it cheaper than $200, but there was one new in box and it had a comma in the price.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That goes the same, my kind of similar to my argument about Dracula X. Dracula X for the Turbo Duo that's the rare one. That's the hard one to find. And unfortunately, they made a port over to the Super Nintendo version, or to the Super Nintendo for Dracula X, which is a horrible, horrible port.
Yes.
But just because the name Dracula X is on the Super Nintendo cartridge, now that is $150.
Yeah.
Instead of being, 50 cents, what it was when I was originally looking for it.
Like, I can get Earthbound for $100 or Chrono Trigger for $100. Like,
well, you can just get it on an emulator.
But even the actual physical ones.
Chrono Trigger had like 3 remakes.
Yeah, that's why I have
And it's like the PS1 versions where you have all the old Final Fantasies and everything.
Yeah, that's the version of Chrono Trigger I still have.
It has the videos in it too, which is kind of neat.
Yes.
I was going to say, I have my Game Boy. Who's got that?
That's the one that's got extra content.
Yeah.
Like extra actual content.
The monster raising stuff or the side dungeons?
The side dungeons.
Yes. I watched an amazing Let's Play. It was on the Something Awful forums. And it's nice to do the forum ones because you get to follow along and actually participate on the thread as they do updates and everything as opposed to just watching it passively. Yeah. But this guy played through all of Chrono Trigger. He finishes the game. Chrono is level 1. He never levels up with Chrono in the entire game. And it isn't just, like, cheat it by having everybody else at 99. The highest level person is, like, 15, and the average level is, like, 10. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's super cool. Like the big thing, once he gets the wallet that turns XP into money, then he just plays the rest of the game, and then it's just a hard game. But before that, he has to do this weird juggle thing where he has to make sure two of his three people are dead at the end of every fight so that only one person gets the XP, and he has to juggle people in and out because people who aren't in your party get one-third of the XP passively, so if he leaves the same people out, they'll keep leveling up, so he has to juggle them in and kill them off. And then, like, the universe fights, like, he has these techniques worked down, like the Magus fight, when you first fight him in his dungeon, in his
basement. Yeah, I remember that. It's a pretty brutal fight.
It literally is, like, he goes through the combat cycle, like, that he does his attack cycle, like, six times, and it's just die, resurrect, die, resurrect, die, resurrect, die, resurrect, die, resurrect, die, resurrect. And then the sixth time through, there's just enough time that he can attack Magus once instead of resurrecting somebody and still have time to resurrect him. And so he has to do this for, like, the fight was, like, 4 hours. And like if he
I can't see that being fun anymore.
And he's on active time mode too, so if he like hesitates for a quarter second on any of these cycles, just you're fucked. It was really interesting. Plus, the whole time in the thread, he had really great commentary about the game as well, and the game's a masterpiece. So.
Right, like that may have brought something else. Otherwise, what you just described is like getting your foot caught in a paper shredder and just slowly shredding your own leg.
Yeah, well, eventually, except I'm watching somebody else's leg get shredded while they give me very interesting commentary about a masterpiece film they're watching. So it's like, you know.
You know what? I guess when you put it that way, I kind of like said, ah! And then Citizen Kane! He was just led!
Yeah. Like that, except less ear rapey. It's really interesting.
It was a little loud.
It was a sexy ear. I couldn't help it.
Was it the ear's fault?
No, that was all me.
Rape-free 2014. No, because that wasn't about rape jokes. That was specifically about comparing losing a game to getting raped. So we're okay.
I'm just the bad person, and that's all right. I don't know. I can't pick one game I'd want remade. Like when you brought up, like, oh, there's so many. Because I'd like to. I don't want to see Ogre Battle remade, but I want to see more games that are built like Ogre Battle was. I want to see Parasite Eve remade, but they're gonna screw it up. There's another.
Parasite Eve, I tried to be playing that game recently. She runs. Like snails are flying past her. That is the slowest protagonist I've ever seen in a game.
Yeah, well, because it was they're basically taking the RPG ripoff of Resident Evil, is what they do with Parasite Eve.
But the Resident Evil people, like, her running speed is the walking speed from Resident Evil.
I'll have to replay.
Oh my god, it's astoundingly slow.
Because what I remember out of the game is that was one of the first games where I was like following the plot and going, "This is really cool science fiction."
Yeah,
like I really liked that. Second one, not as much, but the first one really locked down that nice concept, and it followed through, and the ending was kind of obscure, but it still did a lot of the right stuff.
When you kill the evil demon baby on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Hudson Sound or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
The final boss is an evil baby.
It's a brutal freaking fight.
It is a hard fight.
An evil baby shoots space lasers at you.
I never got around to beating that baby because I was saving...
There's a sound bite.
Sorry, it's topical. I was saving all my weapon upgrades for the new game plus, so my guns were all crappy, and apparently I had saved the game like after the point where the game's like, you can only go forward to the boss fight, you can't go backwards to the upgrade your weapons bench anymore. So I was just like, oh, I get to lose forever now.
Yeah, because that last boss fight is not easy. You've got some pretty limited resources for an RPG style title.
I know I beat the game, but man, I remember spending a lot of hours on Parasite Eve. I don't think I played a lot of Parasite Eve 2.
It didn't have the same magic. Yeah. It was the story just seemed like, how can we make more money off of the franchise? And they kind of forced it along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I barely remember the plot. I remember mitochondria.
Well, the plot to the second one, if I remember right, which could be wrong, is basically like they stopped the mitochondria like insurrection in New York, and then like other insurrections just started happening, so they built a task force to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, you know what, Aya, you saved the city the first time, you can just do this some more. And then she just kind of blunders into this weird like midichlorian like ranch style thing where they're breeding the
like
monster.
Ranch dressing.
Yeah, almost.
Okay.
So you can have midichlorian on your on your sandwich.
Yeah.
Not mitochondria.
Yeah.
You just get some force.
Yeah. Well, it means, but they do the same bloody things as the midichlorians end up doing. You want to shoot lasers? That's cool.
Well, your mitochondria are, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is interesting that that's pseudo-based, the very loosest term of the word that's based on actual science, because our mitochondria is actually not native if you go back far enough. Like 30 million years ago, mitochondria is just like, hey, can I be inside of you, Mr. Cell? And Cell's like, what? And then, right, we'll have cells with mitochondria. You know? That's kind of neat that it is a parasitic relationship. It just has gone back for so long that it doesn't seem like it anymore. Well, yeah, symbiotic, I guess.
Yeah,
because they're both getting something out of it. Well,
what do parasitic would be? It would be feeding off of it. It'd be a symbiotic where they're both mutually benefiting each other.
I wonder where in that gray it goes from one to another. Like, how helpful does the parasite have to be before you begrudgingly can claim it's symbiotic?
Well, are they sleeping on the couch or are they doing chores?
Yeah, I mean, don't pay rent, but they empty the dishwasher every once in a while. Like, is that parasitic or symbiotic?
I would say the mind slugs from Futurama are symbiotic.
Because they give you ease of life?
Yes.
Because there's no stress anymore?
And that's the definition of parasite, but it's, it's symbiotic.
Yeah.
After you have it on you, it's symbiotic.
Kind of like those friggin' crabs that those Arctic sharks have on their eyes.
I haven't heard about those.
Oh, it's exactly what I described.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, these crabs just, like, latch onto their eye with, like, one claw, and then they just, like, float around out the outside just, like, eating food and stuff, and it blinds the shark, and the sharks are just blind. But they're used to it. Like, for those sharks, because it's 100%. Like, every shark has one of those on both of its eyes. Like, there's no exception to the rule. So for the sharks, getting your crab monster blinding is just like us hitting puberty. Like, eventually it happens, and then your life is different then.
So you hit puberty.
Like, they just,
and
they can
crabs.
See, and then crabs eat their eyes, and now they're blind again.
It's like a really terrible bar mitzvah.
I caught that.
Did you ever hear about speaking of parasites, there's one that actually infects snails? And what it does is it slowly eats their brain, and when it's kind of running out of snail brain to go for, it works its way into the snail's eyes, compels the snail to climb like a tall, like, stalk of grass or a stick, makes the eyes glow so that a bird will swoop down and eat at least the eyes. The eggs are in those eyes that incubate through the bird's digestive tract, and so the bird will crap out more parasites for snails.
Mm-hmm. There's a species of stuff that does that with ants, too.
Yeah. But I don't think the ant one...
The ant one is a fungus.
That's a fungus.
The ant one's a fungus, and it's like... Because it goes up and it spreads its spore, and then the spore goes into different ants.
Yep.
The weird thing about the snail one is that the parasite as an adult lives in a snail, but its eggs will only incubate in a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fuck?
Yeah, how do you evolve that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
that was one of those, like, saying, you know what would be really cool? I don't really want our kids living in this neighborhood. So we're going to put them someplace nice.
Yes. Yeah, bird is like sending your kid off to military college or something. But I don't know which is more disbelievable, that evolution made this happen or that some really fucked up god decided this was a good idea.
I mean, it's the same guy who made the platypus. The odd, venomous, not quite
mammal. But that could have just been leftover parts, you know?
Like, shake it up.
He's like, here's this part of the country.
It's Australia.
Yeah.
Just ran out of ideas when he got down to Australia. And started, that's when he got to the crazy stage, like when you've been up till like 2 in the morning and everything is funny.
He had leftover beaver and duck parts, and he had a whole bucket full of venom he never got around to using, and he just threw it all at Australia.
That explains a lot, I guess. Maybe.
So you went to an event this Saturday.
I did.
Last Saturday.
This past Saturday.
Ha ha!
So there was a spell draft event in Milwaukee this past weekend. We ended up having 10 people there.
While you're talking, everybody else is going to get to eat a Cheds.
You fucker.
Ha.
So we ended up doing 2 5-person pools, which is kind of interesting because then not all the cards got pulled in, which ended up hurting the one Hordes player of the 10 of us because then there were not nearly as many anime. Mm. But yeah, there were some interesting combinations. Harvey with the Hieroclimber's Ashen Clouds, kind of annoying.
Mm.
Harvey with Starcrossed.
Yeah, Harvey with Spannable Clouds would be, yeah.
Yeah, there's Harvey with Starcrossed, Haley 2 with Starcrossed, and Eye of Menoth. I managed to pull off a Sevi 1 with Obliteration.
I heard that every one of your victories was by obliterating a caster.
Yes.
Was that 100% true?
With one caveat of the last guy I did to win the event, I also had to use an Arcane Bolt.
Oh, okay.
because that one I couldn't shoot in the face of a Reckoner as well.
But, so, spoiler, you won.
Yeah. But yeah, so POW 18 obliterations seems good. Especially when you have a caster that can strip all the focus off. Yeah, it was...
I like how the original for your spell list for Sevi is that you took Eye of Menoth.
Oh, no, that was not actually... That actually got passed to me.
Really?
Yeah.
What? That must have been some other really good spell on that list.
Well, that's the thing, is all the packs for the cars are really good. Like, the very first one I got had Hellmound, Primed...
Mouth? Yeah.
No, Hellbound.
You said Hellmound, and I don't know what a Hellmound is.
Yeah, it's Hellbound, the Gaffney 2 spell. But Hellbound
it's
and
the Antichrist
Primed
was
and Mobility
crucified.
And... What else was in there? It was really painful, because I had another guy next to me who decided to counter-meta the event. So instead of everyone else who brought squishy spellcasting casters, he brought Durgan with an Earthbreaker.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sitting here going, all right, well, I could kind of use this. So, all right, I guess I'll give you this. And passing a mobile, he got Primed, he got Hellbound, he got Teleport. It was just really frustrating watching all these things go past that I'm like, I would love to take these because you should never have them.
I would just do a Merklist and throw Alexia 1 and Orin in there just to say, fuck you people who came to cast spells.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing I took Sevi 1. It's like, oh, I feat and you don't get to cast spells.
Jerk.
It only came up once because there was only once that I didn't feat to kill as well.
But. Well, they didn't get to cast spells after they were dead.
That's true.
That's true. It's like one of my favorite responses. Somebody was asking, because we were talking about Gatsby 2 being really good, and it's some like relatively new player, and it was when Keith still lived in Madison, and we were talking about how good it was, and the person's like, well, I don't understand his feet, like, do they stay for the rest of the game? And Keith goes, yes they do. Because, yeah, from a certain point of view, when he feats, those things are there for the remainder of the game.
Usually.
Yes.
So, quick. Three games I played. First one was against Assyria. I don't even remember what she had for spells. The guy playing him had terrible, terrible dice. He went up with 11 Mage Hunter Strike Force, and then Assyria cast 2 Sunder Spirits, and at the end of the day, I lost 1 Errant.
That seems like fewer than you should have.
Yes, it was. He missed with 7 of the 11 Mage Hunters. He didn't even hit Errant with no defensive buff on them. And then another 3 failed
to
break armor.
They need, like, 6s?
6s to hit, 7s to kill.
Jesus.
6 missed, 3 didn't break armor, I toughed 1, and then Assyria killed 1 with a Sunder Spirit the second time it was cast.
So he was happy, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a very quick game. Round 2, I played against Old Witch. Which was kind of interesting because the person running him had just drafted a ton of direct damage spells. So he had like Thunder Spirit and Spirit Fang, and he had like 3 or 4 different POW 12s.
That seems like a very bad idea.
It was interesting.
I mean, unless they each have a different utility. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you have Deadweight, and then you also have, I guess, Thunder Spirit and whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Time Bomb. Like,
Stranglehold
well,
was
if
really...
I had Time Bomb, I would only take Time Bomb.
Yeah, that's...
You know, basically. But, like, if you have the you know, this one will get me focus, and this one will fuck over a beast. Like,
yeah, well, Stranglehold was really annoying. I had Blessing of Vengeance Strangleholded twice, so that slowed me down a bit. But this Throwing Obliteration...
Ooh, Stranglehold plus Deadweight.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Stranglehold is a must forfeit.
Yes.
Stranglehold plus Deadweight would completely shut down a model every
Deadweight
turn.
Deadweight is in the brick or not.
Okay. Might not be.
Yeah, that one was just kind of going back and forth. I managed to early game get an obliteration off to blow most of the Wintergard Death Star up, and then in the same turn also sent my Reckoner and shot Malakov in the face.
Yeah.
So that worked out, and then managed to oblit Old Witch hiding behind a wall. And then the third game was against Haley 2. That was one of the Haley 2 players with Starcrossed. That's kind of frustrating.
Starcrossed, okay.
Yeah, he had Starcrossed and Mobility and Boundless Charge. So he had a Stormclad that could charge 16 inches.
Seems fair.
Yeah. Mm. Although I managed that one, I got really lucky on because he moved up the Stormcloud. I'm like, okay, Iris 2, I'm going to sacrifice you for one turn.
Right.
I'll disrupt you. Then the Stormcaller missed. So I'm like, okay, and he feed it on me. I'm like, Iris sacks movement and does it again. And then I was able to counter feat. And then I made one mistake in that game and left the zone open. So he actually got up to 3 points. but he didn't quite seal off Haley behind Thorne correctly, so I managed to get Blessing of Vengeance over, and then Obliteration, and then a Arcane Bolt. It was the range 12, POW 11 one. So range 12, POW 15 for me, but sure. Or 14.
So. Nice, nice.
Yeah. So that worked out well. The Durgan player was one of the other two. It was the top three was me, the Durgan player, and then the other Haley 2 player. The Durgan player ended up losing because of the other Haley 2 player in the event managed to get another boosted Stormwall up there and was able to actually electroleap his entire support for the Earthbreaker while killing the Earthbreaker with a strength of granite Stormwall.
Yeah.
Strength of granted, I am Menoff, signs importance, Stormcall.
Nice.
I'm excited by this.
Yeah. It was a lot of
fun. I was
going to
go, and then I didn't. Yeah. True story.
Like I said, it was a lot of fun, but it's definitely one of those events that I only want to play every so often, and you have to be in the right mood for it, because, you know, there's just a lot of completely broken stuff. I mean, you have to approach it the same way as Who's the Boss. You can't go in there wanting to win. You just have to go in there and see how weird you can make it.
I do have an I told you so about spell draft, because there's one thing that was too broken, and I'm like, guys, this is too broken. They're like, nah, it's fine. And then the only thing they changed, like, from last year to this year with spell draft was this one thing, which is the coven.
Yeah.
Because the coven's arcane conjunction, you know, normally you get minus one to all your spells. In spell draft lists, it's minus one to the first spell cast.
For each
of the three, as opposed to all your spells.
Well, they had to do that after three of the top four at Lock and Load were coven lists, one of which was spamming nine Bone Shakers a turn.
Which isn't even the broken one. Because I've heard that Soulfire is in the brick. It's not in the brick anymore? Okay.
Yeah, so they might have just...
I think another one that's normally like a cost two, but if you kill somebody, you get
that's Soulfire. Yeah. Soulfire is cost two. If you kill somebody, you get a focus back. So at cost one, you can cast it infinitely, assuming you kill something. Which with focus nine, they're not going to miss.
Right, and then if you're doing infantry,
even if they miss, then they just start the next one. They would have to miss nine times before they could. Nope, they'd have to miss eight times before they couldn't do it anymore.
That could totally happen.
Yeah, that's likely.
Yeah, but it was actually remarkable.
Ooh. And I think Soulfire, if you kill something, this model gains a focus?
No, it's the caster. Because if you Soulfire something with the Defjack, the caster still gets the focus.
That's what this model means. Mm-hmm. This model means the caster. Which, so if they did have Soulfire, Defjack could go up and Soulfire two or more times just to give them extra focus for when they activate.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scarlock does it once also.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned on the stream, though, that they had a Gator army with Coupe de Main.
Coupe de Main's
a good
spell.
One of the things. One of the other Harvey players, the guy with the clouds, also had Ghostwalk Coupe de Main Bastions going.
Yeah, well, that still only makes him Speed 6 Pathfinder, which, you know, that's still slower than Satixis.
It is, but when you have 12 Burning Ash Clouds out on the way in.
That's valid.
Yep.
Yeah, it's about interesting. Were you the only one from Madison that went? Did you even have Josh in your car?
No, it was me and then John, Casey, and Brian.
Oh, okay.
So.
Not Brian. Easy Brian.
No.
Brian, some other Brian.
Josh.
That Brian. Yeah. The one from, Brian. Yep. Yes. Who posted a very disturbing video of his tongue getting sliced in half on Facebook.
No, that's Brian. That's a different Brian.
Yep.
There's a third Brian?
Mm-hmm.
How many fucking Brians are there?
Three.
What's the second Brian?
That's John's friend?
That Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember now. Well, John's friends with third Brian also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, so come on. Saying that Brian is John's friend doesn't really narrow it down, Jack and Apes.
He's the one that's usually hanging around with John.
I fuck you.
Well, all right.
Stick this
to clarify, all right. You don't need so there's Brian.
Uh-huh.
Then there's John's friend, Brian.
Sure.
And then there's tattooed Brian.
So neither that Brian nor the other Brian are friends with John? Because John plays board games with Brian all the time.
I'm trying to simplify it for you.
Right. I thought they were friends.
They are friends.
I'm going to text Brian and let him know John doesn't think he's his friend.
Okay.
He's going to cry.
We should get that in film.
Quite possibly.
Poor Brian. Wait, which John?
We have two of those.
We only have two.
That's not as many. We need more Johns. At one point in time, we had like four Nates, and three of them had the last initial H as well. So we couldn't even say, no, Nate H and Nate W, because that didn't work.
We just had to stop distinguishing and just said, any Nate's good enough here.
In general, yeah, Nates
actually,
are good.
We would not want many Nates around.
The Nate quality has dropped, though.
Yeah.
We got me. I'm okay. Epic Nate's gone.
Yep.
And then we have Nate Newbie. Like, No.
Yeah, our quality control sucked a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, Nate Newby's never going to be on the podcast again.
God damn. I loved how angry Travis was the next day listening to the podcast. Oh, he was so mad. so mad.
I'm going to have to listen to that one again now.
No, you don't need to.
God, newbie.
It's never.
Oh.
Never. I've actually taken him off my contacts on my phone.
Oh, wow. That's just mean.
No, I haven't.
Oh, sure you haven't. Wink, wink.
As he does it right now.
For anyone who is smart enough not to watch it, day before yesterday, Jeremy did his live Legion stream.
Yeah, we watched actually the first hour of it on the way back from Milwaukee.
Two hours and 45 minutes in, I show up. So, I was watching at home, and he was getting drunker and drunker and being less and less useful as a human being. So I decided that it was going to descend into just people watching him literally just mumble and stare at the walls. So I drove over so I could just poke him and make him talk. And I regretted it because then I was there just in time for him to talk about the Legion infantry. And every one of them was goddamned amazing, and every one of them was like, this is unplayable trash because it's not a beast.
Yeah, it doesn't have Isle of Sight.
I don't think Jeremy actually knows how to play or Pathfinder.
This unit is weapon master with two attacks each and overtake and all that. No, they're trash. They're no good.
It's like maybe they're the same person who came out with the Legion are pillow fisted. No, really, guys, they totally are.
Well, that's because he doesn't feel their fucking weapon master units. Maybe charge somebody with a dozen weapon masters and see what happens.
Works pretty well for most factions. Why doesn't it work for Legion?
Because they don't field them.
Oh, right.
Well, you have to remember, Jeremy's plan for Legion is just do whatever the hell Jake does. And Jake apparently cannot run infantry, so now Jeremy can't do that, because he just can't comprehend it. It also explains why he can't do anything with Rhett, because they have to field infantry.
Like, read Raptors and tell me how many of your testicles you would give to have those in Trolls. You know? Swordsmen, for the love of God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just
if I could have those things. Ooh.
He's like, they're unplayable trash.
Raptors? He said that about Raptors?
Yeah, they're unusably bad.
The fast cab with poison arrows and...
Yeah. The thing is,
they don't have fearless sight.
They aren't fearless.
And, oh, yeah.
So the thing is, if your speed 9, range 12 fast cav model, who are therefore at least 17 inches away from where the thing they just killed used to be, if they're taking command checks, how?
Oh,
how
Jeremy's
is that happening?
Playing them, and there is an abomination too close.
Did you fast cav forward?
There was only
one of
time.
His own abominations?
Right.
Yeah.
There's only one time that my Raptors ever had to take a command check that wasn't involving loss of unit.
Yeah.
And that was in Mark 1. I accidentally put them too close to my abominations. And
Mark
1,
I was playing them against, must have been pre-Marshall, so it must have been Matt Rassett, but I had my Scarlock Thrall go up and throw a Hellfire, and Hellfire causes command checks, and they're just like, gone, off the table.
Yeah. Well, their command's not exactly terrible, isn't it? It's like an 8?
That's an 8 or a 9.
Yeah,
it's
that's 8,
that's
I think.
Pretty normal.
I think it's 8, yeah.
If that's your measuring bar of bad...
It's unplayable trash. Yeah.
A very different definition.
Oh my
trash.
God, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him so much. And I caught myself because there was a delay on the feed, and so he'd say something, and then I'd look over at the feed, and 10 seconds later, I could see myself rolling my eyes and throwing my hands up the air like, oh my God, I've never seen someone so wrong in my life.
Travis is on the stream letting us know that he's still mad at Newbie.
I'd imagine it was great because Travis was so mad. He's like, and every time I stop being mad, he opens his mouth and more cancer just sprays out of that shithole. And so, like, the descriptors that Travis used were amazing, given that he's normally our stoic Vulcan, calm guy.
Yeah, he's definitely our Spock.
He only gets that mad. I've seen him that mad, and then when you troll him by bringing up Terminus shaking, those are the two times I see him get that angry.
I didn't troll him.
You've trolled him many times about that. You can say that time wasn't, but since then you've been like, hey, Travis, shaky shake. And he looks at you, and then he walks out of the room, and then he punches a puppy and breaks a car in half. And then he comes back in, and he's Travis again.
So my new sport actually has been, you know, every time I see Travis, before I do that, I make sure I go through the rules for him to find out what the most stupid question of the week was, and then I ask him in person.
For Travis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
So there's been that. So it's been the food machine question, and what other good ones?
You should ask
him. I was really sad because there wasn't anything for this past week.
There's one I was going to scroll back and find. I forget what it was, but I messaged him on Messenger. I was like, hey, Travis, can you tell me exactly how Warbeast packs interact with theme forces? And he responded with, eat a dick. That's his official infernal ruling.
Just eat a dick. Oh, so it'd be perfect with Jeremy in his Legion.
Yeah.
Because then he could just eat a whole bag
of
dicks.
For anyone who hasn't watched that feed yet, Andy has the audio you said. It's pretty much up. It'll be out sometime soon. You've done 90% of the legwork.
It should be up fairly soon, yes.
Like, you've done everything. It's up to itself when it gets through almost to this point.
Well,
whatever.
Point is,
it'll be up soon. Oh, yeah, you were going to tell your YouTube story. But before you go into the details of that, if you watch it or listen to it, take a shot anytime Jeremy says bag of dicks. And
I
then
don't want to
notify your next of kin before doing this.
Wow.
He says bag of dicks at least 100 times. Minimum.
That's many, many bags of dick.
Yeah. Because he was so drunk by the end, he thought it was a wacky catchphrase, so he was saying it 10 times per entry, basically.
He was being not so goddamn... It was painful to go through any type of... topic on there. I showed up for like maybe a half hour of it, and he kept on going. He was like, hey, so this thing's got a power 18x. Do you know what that means, Andy? I'm like, no, Jeremy, what does that mean? That means I get blah 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 blah. I just
good old Jeremy. He's
so smug over everything.
The drunker he got, the more self-assured he got, and the more wrong he was, which was a great combination.
Yes, he was very wrong the whole time. It's like, damn it. What happens when the butcher runs up forward, sitting on full camp, and you walk up the Forsaken up to it?
The best thing, at the end I was just trolling him, and the thread got on board. We were just talking about how amazing Proteus is, and he kept coming with great Proteus tech. Legit great Proteus tech. It was astounding by the end. Like, Lilith 1 and Proteus, BFFs, by the way. Proteus is the best Dark Sentinel. Because he's like, well, I have Typhon
Veil,
go up.
You mean?
Or Veil, sorry, not Lilith. Veil 1.
Proteus actually is decent with Lilith 1 as well.
Lilith 1 as well. Mm-hmm. But with Veil 1, it's like Dark Sentinel, because he's like, I have Typhon go up, and... hope for the crit pitch to get them out of melee with Veil.
Just
like Proteus can drag them. Yeah. And I didn't even mention the time, but Proteus can drag them, and then if he does it with his ranged version, that'll be boosted, and then that grants an additional melee attack that'll also be boosted because Dark Sentinel allows, so you can double boost Dark Sentinel with Veil.
Yeah.
Good times. And she has Rampager.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying you can Rampager something up its speed, and then Proteus can drag it another 6 inches. So you can get a bottle like a foot forward. Proteus for life.
Yeah, yank it right out of control range. Assuming it's still alive.
Proteus with Rias is great because on her feet turn, one of the issues is that things can jump out of her command range. He has hurting.
Oh
yeah. Proteus, baby.
Yeah, no, I've always liked Proteus. I just never got him because I didn't play Legion.
Well, it digressed a little bit, but a lot of problems that Legion players have is if it's not super-duper easy to use and ignores all the opponent's rules, it's by default bad.
So, all their infantry.
Well, that's what he did every time. He's like, they don't have Pathfinder and Eyeless Sight, therefore they're unplayable. That was literally his logic for, like, all of his infantry.
Oh my god, how does Menoth play?
Yeah.
Very well.
What a concept.
But all their infantry doesn't have Pathfinder.
Actually, the fucking Errants do.
Well, the Errants do. God.
No, what
Man
do you mean?
7,
the Rat 6, Pathfinder. Fuck you. Pathfinder Blast, Advanced Deploy with their sack thing, and they're 5-8.
Yep.
Gotta hate that unit.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
no, they're more because they have the UA with them.
Yeah, okay, the Rupert UA that makes them tough and fearless also.
Yeah, and the Rupert UA, yes. So they're 12
points. Yeah,
I have to
spend 14 points on them before they get really stupid.
Yeah, but at 8 points, they're still retardedly good.
Oh, yeah, because you have the cover with them, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking fuck.
But it... God.
We'll just have to show them up with other faction podcasts that can show even worse.
Well, what I was going to do, and we made this pledge on the podcast, but I think he was relatively drunk, and I don't want to do it because I think that I'm right, and I don't want to dream stomp him, but I told him what
no,
I was going to
do.
But,
you should do it.
Do it. I don't even know what it is, but do
no,
it.
No, I know. It was the challenge.
My challenge for him was that he can run Legion how he wants to run Legion, I would play like Ryas and Kalus, infantry heavy Legion. I would spend at most 10 points in beasts, not counting my beast points. So 40 points of my list would be infantry, and I would do better than him at the six pack. That was my bet. The issue is I'd rather just play my minions or convergence and win the whole fucking thing. And it's worst case scenario, one of two things happens. Either I win and I crush poor Jeremy's spirits, and there's a point where that's not funny anymore. Or I lose and I wasted the six pack failing at an attempt to troll Jeremy. And neither of those are me winning the whole thing with pigs.
Yeah, but I don't know. Jeremy Broken Spirits sounds pretty
good.
It
is so beautiful of a concept, though.
All I know is I want to, after War Machine Weekend, I'm going to start testing out the Mad Dogs of Everblight.
It's fucking list. Rear Guard, man. Oh, that theme force.
Thags 2, a Shredder, a Blightedness Sorceress, and 11 Beast Packs.
Oh, yeah.
Tier 2, all of them, all the Beast Packs get Advanced Deploy. I get plus one to go first. It's Jordan's,
I don't like this at all.
It's Jordan's Doom Raider list with 8 more models that are speed 7 with Pathfinder.
And can boost.
Yes. Yeah. And have size importance.
Yes.
Thanks. I don't like that at all.
Anything interesting over there?
I was just going to say, Tort had mentioned, fairly sure that you heard Jeremy, that Errants are unplayable trash and can eat a bag of dicks.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Insert word here is unplayable trash and can eat a bag of dicks, unless it's a Legion beast.
Yeah. Unless it has what? Isle of Sight.
And Pathfinder.
And Pathfinder. Then it just...
Which means that Drudge Mind Slaves with Ghostwalk are the best thing ever.
Yeah. But according to Jeremy, they probably still are unplayable trash.
No, they have Isle of Sight and Ghostwalk then. Man, and Pathfinder then.
That is legit scary.
Yeah. I can't get Ghostwalk with them, can I?
Yeah, you can. With Denny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
They are a Crix unit, Andy.
Whatever.
Yeah. People won't admit that they are. Denny's Theme Force. Here, why don't you tell your anecdote about the stream being uploaded on YouTube while the other three of us eat some Tim Tams?
What? I have to what?
I'm Troll Jeff, and I endorse this idea. Go.
I want Tim Tams.
Well, then tell your anecdote.
My anecdote about what? I was looking at...
Uploading the YouTube things.
Oh.
And how they were in Arabic.
When you
stuff.
Finish, you too can have a Tim Tam.
No, thanks.
Excuse you, what does it say right here? Irresistible chocolate biscuit. You have to try a Tim Tam.
Fuck that, I'm not going to conform to some Australian bullshit.
I'm eating a Tim Tam.
Yeah.
I can't resist. So, interesting story about when I uploaded Jeremy's wonderful thing to YouTube. I did the podcast 91, uploaded it, worked just fine. Uploaded Jeremy's, it... took the 8-hour broadcast and chopped it up into 5 different parts and then put them up. And actually, it chopped it up into 5 different parts and only put 3 of them up. I'm like, oh, okay. So I started running it again. It chopped it up, thinking that maybe it'll do it all at once, and chopped it up in 5 different parts again and messed it up. There was, when it then posted it, it posted it into its own playlist, which then... posted to our YouTube Facebook channel in Arabic, and I think Swedish.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because it's an emergency. We need some freaking milk for these things. This would be wonderful.
There's no milk.
What the?
I don't believe in milk.
The cream in the middle of this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like it isn't just like a solid like chocolate like wet layer or something. Like it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do a Tim Tam slam. Yes. He said. Which we, I think that'd be a little sloppy and noisy on the air, but apparently Tim Tam Slam is when you bite off either end and then you suck the milk through it.
Maybe we can put that on the air, just cut out the audio and use it for something terribly inappropriate.
We can't do that when you're live.
And I think the cream is thin enough that it would just like turn into chocolate milk as it goes through it. Because.
Oh, your problem there describing about doing something live. Reminds me of one of my favorite.
We can still have that. Oh, are you talking about grapefruiting?
No.
Because listen to the audio on that.
And, oh, that is amazing. That video is great. And when she just. It's like I heard somebody describe it as a wet garbage disposal giving a blowjob.
The first time that clip was ever introduced to me, someone just started it and just put his phone down, like the image down. Like, I just following. Okay, I guess I'm following on to the point. And.
Oh, my God. It's only. I read a follow-up article by somebody else, some female blogger who tried it out and said it actually works. Like creepy sound effect, original video aside, it actually worked. And she's like, the original video said to surprise your man with it. She wasn't going to do that. So she told her boyfriend right up front, I'm going to put a grapefruit on your dick.
All right.
This is like one of those Hallmark gift cards you open up. And she's like, yeah, what is that? I'm going to put a fruit in your dick. Oh,
all right. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
What I was talking about is my favorite moment of live broadcast involved the late, great Owen Hart. I don't know if you saw this at all, Nathan.
Mm-mm. No.
No, it was Owen Hart. He was unmasked as the Blue Blazer live on television, which he then in the next day, or basically claimed that it was like a stunt double. It was put in there in post. It was like, oh, and that was live. It was like, no. That wasn't me. That wasn't me at all. You could tell that the hair is different. It's just the vehement deniability of wrestling.
They did it in post, but they did it in post live, you see.
No, you can't do it in
post. There was a guy live. in the booth, and he was just like, yeah, he did it. No, you can do it in post, and you can do it live.
No.
And then you zoom and enhance. Yeah. I've seen CSI.
Yeah, you can't do that live.
Just get enough, Asians in the room, and they can figure it out.
Unless it's How to Drive. No, no number of agents can figure that out.
That does remind me. Have you ever seen the Drawn Together episode where they fixed that problem? If we just want to keep going with the racist route right away.
That's not the same one where they had the princess put on the goggles that made her see life like an Asian person?
No, that is the same
one. Oh, okay. Oh, it's great. She puts on the goggles to make her see it like an Asian person. They hold up something. They show up like a picture of... I forget what the first one is. But then she holds up a second one. It's like a picture of a dog. And she's like, I see dinner. And then they hold up a picture of two identical like Asian stereotypes. It's literally just the same picture twice. And she says, I see two completely different gentlemen.
Well, I think they continue on with that too, where they show a picture of like an intersection, and she freaks out.
Oh my god!
Oh, that show, it had its genius moments. It did. Like it sometimes it went. Sometimes it went too far, and things could be like, oh, that's not funny, and you're really pushing it too hard, and that scene is bad. But 90% of that show was shockingly good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like when Captain Hero lost his powers.
Yeah.
It was confined to a wheelchair. That's so wrong.
Oh.
Fantastic was the word you were looking for.
Yeah,
fantastic.
True. What were we talking about?
Your videos were in Arabic.
Oh, yeah, my videos are in Arabic.
So the funny thing is I saw those go up, and I thought that was purpose. Because it's like, oh, okay, so I get it. It was Swedish Muslim Jeremy by the end.
Yeah. Yeah? I don't know.
You posted about this Twitch stream, an hour ago for people to do Deputy Grumbles. And it's had Legion Chat, under the icon still, because apparently that was, the name of the Twitch stream still or whatever.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
We talked about Legion. It happened.
We did.
We talked about it better than Jeremy did. It only took 5 minutes.
That is goddamn true. Andy made the mistake of giving me a hammer just randomly, a half hour after I sat down. I don't know why. I was like, yeah, look, it's a hammer. And man, did I almost use that.
I was hoping. I was ready with the bleach.
Everybody in chat said they wouldn't turn me in. It was astounding. Sometimes I wish we lived in Looney Tunes land where I can just hit somebody with a fucking frying pan and they won't die.
Yeah, that would be that. Yes, especially with Jeremy.
Yeah,
so frustrating. One small thing is we've always met generally on Sunday at 6 o'clock. And I kid you not, we've been doing this for 2 years now.
Wait, it isn't at 6:15? Because that's when I show up.
Well,
no, that's still 6
you got your
here.
You got your date time. but Jeremy would
they've
go.
Been, they've been dialing your clocks forward.
He would consistently ask me, he's like, hey, are you guys, are we podcasting this Sunday? I'm like, yes. What time? I'm like, 6 o'clock? Okay. Every week it was
but
that.
But now it's Mondays at 6:30.
Yeah, Mondays. We were probably going to go with that for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had some folks decide that they'd take a hiatus for a little bit-ish, maybe.
Maybe. Well, whatever.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
We'll figure it out.
Whatever. What was that thing? You were talking. Are you done with your video thing?
Basically, the other crazy thing, though, too, is also the audio ended up breaking, so I had to pull the audio from the live stream as well.
Are you glad you took a Tim Tam, Dan?
It was better than I expected.
Yeah. You've earned a Tim Tam, Andy.
Right.
You earned a Tim. I didn't pull it away. No, you're an A Tim Tam. That's right. I planned ahead. There may or may not have been two Tim Tams in the shipment, and I only brought one package in for you assholes.
Oh, son of a turd merchant.
I don't know. I think we can try to find ways of improving the Tim Tam Slam methodology. Like
Bailey's.
Ooh. You were onto something. You have another package of these, right? We got our next podcast planned out.
Yes, just the alcoholic Tim Tam Slam. All right. Do we have Zappity Grumble questions?
No.
None?
No. I looked at it like three times now.
You didn't tweet it.
I did.
You tweeted?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I tweeted, recording and broadcasting episode 92 tonight. Around 6:30, Zappity Grumble.
Link to Twitch. Person on Facebook telling us that we're late.
Does that count?
Zappity
Grumble. Yeah, we're late. Deal with it.
All right, we could try pulling it from chat, it looks like, but yeah, there's none there, none on Twitter.
All right, if you're watching, start putting up questions. We'll do it live. Yeah. We're going O'Brien here. Not O'Brien, O'Neill. O'Reilly. O'Reilly! That's who it was.
Yeah, it's Bill O'Reilly.
Bob O'Reilly.
What?
Bob O'Reilly. That song. That's that fucking Who song with the crappy keyboard thing at the beginning that...
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your Who hate.
That's Bob O'Reilly. Which is the goofiest name ever to a song.
It is. It's a song that everybody knows it by something else.
Yeah.
It's like the Pina Teenage Colada
Wasteland
song.
They call it Teenage Wasteland sometimes or whatever. Yeah, Pina Colada. Fuck you, Pina Colada song.
Hey, if you like them.
When that started playing at Guardians of the Galaxy, Raylene just started poking at me and laughing. Because she trolls me with that goddamn song. So often. Well, I fucking hate that song.
It's amazingly catchy. It's got a horrible lesson behind it, but it's amazingly catchy.
God damn that song.
Didn't say I supported it.
Let's repair our marriage by both having sex with random people.
See, now you're talking sense.
Yes. That sounds perfectly fine for a cult.
Oh, my Lord.
Somebody should take those away from me now.
Yeah. Jeff, get the Tim Tams. No, not for you. Andy, do we have questions yet? This is your job.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for him to... I'm eating.
Vamp. What?
Who's not eating? Dan, vamp for us.
Oh, actually, I do have something that I could say.
Okay.
So are you excited for the road trip for War Machine weekend?
Oh, God. Yep. Oh, are you outdoing Brian?
Yep.
Oh, son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! I made a terrible mistake.
The best part of it was a few weeks ago, Josh was over at my house, and he was just like, "So, are we going to make a bad mix for Nathan?" I'm like, "I'm already done with it."
Hey, do you know how you bookend that mixtape?
Or the Pina Colada song?
With Escape.
No, I'll just get that one as a low point on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack I do to bring Nathan back to life after the horrors.
Fucking Pina Colada song.
All right, so we do have a couple questions here, so I'm going to go ahead.
Oh, speaking of
really, you're
going
to say
ride.
Fuck you to the guy that's
yeah,
wrote us
fuck
questions.
You, guy. This Tim Tam's melting quickly.
Yeah, there's a flaw.
What's his face? Who got the job at ACD and is moving to Madison?
Mm-hmm.
I told him to talk to you about War Machine Weekend because since he doesn't live where he lived, he doesn't have a car ride anymore. And I know you had mentioned that hypothetically. I don't know if you can fit a person in your passenger seat if you're 100% full.
My shopping list for War Machine Weekend involves all the podcast equipment, all of my video equipment for the painting lounge, which includes a television, all the stuff for Who's the Boss, the wheel and that, and the majority of the casters as well. So, maybe? I don't know. I barely will have enough room for myself in the car. The TV is the big thing, but I wanted to have a TV there so when we're given the classes, we could have a video camera that would be feeding into the television so people who are not right next to the person teaching can see it on the television. And,
makes sense.
And since it's a painting lounge, I thought it would be kind of cool to throw up movies or something like that during, you know, just during paintings for background music
right.
Or background noise. Like throw up like Lord of the Rings or some other schmancy thing like that.
if you can somehow, I'm just saying, if you can somehow find a place to wedge him in, you get to be less bored and spend half as much on gas.
Yeah, that's I'll talk to him on Wednesday. It's probably doable. I mean, I assume it's probably not a ton of stuff, and I'm sure we could probably fit an army and a bed and clothes. We should be good.
All right. Now you should have some zappity grumbles.
Oh my god! It's already scrolled up now.
Excellent. Ooh.
So, what are you looking forward to the most in 2015 for War Machine Hordes? I would say, isn't Hordes anniversary next year?
I think it might be. My current thing I'm most excited about,
Your battle engine for your conversions?
That's not coming out next year. That's never coming out. But every pig model that's not out yet. I mean, apart from the releases that I only know about, but Steamroller 2015 beta is currently out.
Yes, it is.
And that is 2015. Hey. I'm excited. Talk to your local press ganger. It's really interesting. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I really want to get my hands on some Highwaymen and their UA, so to speak, that I can never remember her name of.
Oh, Braylon.
Braylon. Yeah. There we go. Yes, I really want those because I think that they're fantastic. They're going to do terrible things at opponents at the table who aren't expecting them.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to Reckoning.
Reckoning? Yep. That's...
I will probably have zero models in that book. So that's the unfortunate thing about playing Convergence, is I can't look forward to War Machine books.
Yeah. Well, mine was Hordes. If it is next year's the anniversary of Hordes, it'd be very cool because, you know, we got Cephalix and...
Yeah, I can't remember if it was 15 or 16 is the 10-year. So.
Yeah, I cannot remember either. But maybe it is 2006.
Might be.
Yeah.
Who knows? Zappity.
Grumble.
You can't say both!
Yeah, I can.
Fair enough.
How is Exelon Sexless coming along? He's being cleaned.
He's almost primed.
Almost primed. He's being cleaned though. That's the big thing. His base that is on is a cork base. So I have to make sure it's cleaned, and so it doesn't flake off when I prime it.
And I know Andy. We have not yet reached Andy time. Because Andy time, you're leaving next Thursday.
Possibly Wednesday.
So this went Thursday, possibly Wednesday. Andy will start painting him.
Yeah,
and he needs a solid week of panic to properly paint a model.
Yeah. I also have to assemble models, too.
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got Borka 2, the Iron Mother.
Oh! Borka 2. Sorry, that reminded me. Go on.
And some other models.
Okay. So on the Something Awful forums, in the mm-hmm. War Machine Hordes thread, they were talking about Borka 2 recently and about how he's shockingly better in play than he is on paper, which I know you've said. And somebody was like, yeah, like, people were bad-mouthing him on, like, Crippled System and Road to War and Chain Attack or whatever, but I didn't listen to him. I don't remember us bad-mouthing Borka 2.
No.
I was very hesitant to endorse him, but...
I don't think we really bad-mouth anything but the Freebooter.
Well, that's because it's terrible.
Yeah, it's... Unplayable. Unplayably bad.
It is terrible.
I can eat a bag of
he's cavalry, so he's got plus two mat on his charge, yep. too, which
mat
is super
10
sexy.
On that charge attack. No, I was playing a game, and someone lingered a little too close, and Borka ran straight into the Carnivian, who's just going to assault him and spray over him, and Borka ran straight into that mess, clocked him, ripped off its mind aspect, and took the spray, was fine, took a one hit, lost some hit points, froze the Carnivian, and went, yeah, what you got now?
Bring it, bitch. How do you take the spray if he was in melee with it?
It was the assault spray.
It can't assault you if you're in melee with it.
Yeah. No, it assaulted it. It's not expecting to reach me.
I thought you said you charged it.
He countercharged.
It was a countercharge, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was a countercharge.
Sorry,
gotcha.
That was the highlight of the story. It was on the opponent's turn.
Oh, but you shouldn't have even gotten sprayed then if you were... Because if you countercharged... But you could go off to the side a little because the spray is so narrow, it only comes out of the center of the front arc. You could impact attack him, like,
but doesn't always
at
10
o'clock. But he ends his movement.
You could place a spray.
Does he turn to directly face? The spray doesn't come straight forward.
So
the spray would go to the side. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, he would
angle
the spray.
But I really wanted to be able to, because on that round I was able
but
to.
But you could redirect his spray by charging him in a different chunk of his front arc.
But I was willing to take the spray. Because by doing so, I also got an impact attack on the nearby frozen Angelus. So that turn I was able to generate four attacks in a single counter charge. I mean, one of them was only a power 12 bomb, so...
Is that all?
I know, it was sad.
So that's how Excellent Thexits is coming along.
Yep. Zebedee. Grumble. Who's going to take the... Who's going to do the Circle Faction stream?
Who knows?
We could have Newbie do it.
No! Fuck it! What?
Well, you don't have to be in the same room when he's
doing it. We don't have to be there when he does it.
Oh, my God.
Lock him in the room?
Yeah.
So I have a 4-hour static loop that we can put on, which will get better ratings.
Yeah. And be less offensive.
Overdub it with some yakety sacks and just be done with it.
I would rather just do it, and I don't know anything about Circle. I would just go through model by model and go like, oh, this seems neat. I don't know anything about it, and I would just theory machine for 8 hours.
That would actually be kind of fun.
I honestly think that we could probably get Katie to do it. We would have to have support there for her.
Yeah.
And we probably have at least a couple Circle players that might be able to
help. Well,
if you
keep up the trend with putting enough booze there, you just have a couple of bottles laid out.
Drunk Katie on a podcast.
She gets a vodka for every X number of models she gets through. Katie loves her vodka.
She does. That's we'll work on it. She's out of town for the next couple weeks, so
we might be able to get a guest to do it. I mean, we've got Milwaukee people we know, like
Dan.
Yeah, Dan could come over and do it. He's good.
Yeah, but he has to come over here.
I mean, it'd be 10 minutes long. He'd just say Cro-Mac and two Stalkers is good, and then he'd leave.
Yeah. No, we want everything talked about. Everything. If we're gonna do it, we gotta do it right.
Yeah, we'll find somebody.
And that leads, Zeppity.
Grumble.
What conventions are you, in the next year, are you excited to go to, and why?
Adepticon, Killin' Grill, War Machine Weekend.
I haven't done Killin' Grill.
So that's the one the Hacksaw does in July. This year he's doing it as a full 5-man WTC teams.
Oh.
Interesting.
That would be kind of fun.
I'm excited about Adepticon also. I need to... Currently, Travis is tentatively my partner for the team tournament, but he usually ends up running something, so I might have to find a fill-in. And I know you know what the duo is going to be.
I'm in.
Okay. Neither of us play the two factions we're going to be doing, but we'll figure it out, because goddamn is this list good enough that you don't need to know what
anything
you're doing.
I'll say, you and John proved that no skill is required to get close.
Those were at least our factions.
It was one of your factions, and it was John.
What? I don't even know what that means. I play Convergence.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Doesn't he? What? I don't even remember what he was playing.
Enough, I think.
Yeah, that's
his faction. He was playing 3/4 of the table.
Yeah. Wah, wah. God, I'm so excited about that team tournament combo. We got this shit, Dan. Yep.
Is there anything that I can lend you to it?
I think I own all the models we need.
Okay.
Okay, Zappity. Well, actually, I'm looking forward to Lock and Load again. I like Adepticon and War Machine Weekend next year.
Next year, I'm hoping to go a lot more conventions, especially since I just got a big promotion at work. It's very nice. Like, the percentage that my income went up was very satisfactory, because I was like poverty line income, and now I'm like a human being can live on this money income, and so I'm extremely happy about that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I always was hoping to go to more conventions this next year, but now it's actually feasible. So I wanted to do, I mean, obviously Adepticon War Machine Weekend I do every year, but if I could go to a Lock and Load or a, the other one, you know, the thing. What's
Temple
the
Con?
Other one? TempleCon, maybe, yeah. There's the one, the Lock and Load's the one up in Seattle. What's the one up in the eastern area?
That's
TempleCon? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's in
or
February,
DICON.
Though.
DICON's another one.
DICON is, well, yeah. DICON's.
And Gen Con. Like, of those four, I'd hope to go to two of them.
I didn't mention Gen Con because I'm going to be there anyway. It's just Gen Con. You know.
Yeah. So Adepticon, Gen Con, and War Machine Weekend, and then maybe Lock and Loaded would be great.
I guess probably a better subject would have been, which convention are you looking forward to going to, but you haven't?
Lock
been
and
load. Been to it before.
Yeah, I haven't been to Lock and Load.
Yep, be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do conventions?
No, not really. No,
you can come to Gen Con.
You should come with us sometime. Just
you don't have
for
to
the
War
weekend
machine.
Of hangout.
You can just
you have to sell it big.
Okay,
I'm not a big fan of most of humanity.
Well, yeah, I'm not a fan of humanity either, but I get by.
True.
Yeah, Zappy. Yeah.
Grumble.
All right, do we have a podcast, Fuckapalooza, planned yet?
Yeah. We're recording it. Yeah, we have the time set down. I've got verification from Road to War and Muse and Miami, and I think a couple other. Like, we've got verification from several podcasts that they will be there at that it's that date and time.
Yep.
We were going to record it Friday after the first round of the Invitational. So, like, the first round of the Invitational is at 8, so we were going to record it, like, 10-ish. Now I just need to figure out where we're going to record.
Yeah,
we'll find something. We'll find someplace. But it's happening.
Yep. Zappity.
Grumble.
When is Andy going to do a solo cast on Mercs? Right after my troll cast. We have to plan that. I think we're planning that for after War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
I used to play Trolls.
Used to play.
Well, Mercs. You could.
I can help with the Merc cast.
Yeah, people like you,
fools.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Yeah, we got double lightning.
What? What is it? What?
What do you guys think about the Avengers 2 trailer?
I haven't watched it yet.
It looks exciting. People are speaking like it's the second coming. I don't know if it's that good, but I am excited about the movie.
I'm excited. I've stopped watching the Marvel movies in that series.
Really?
I just don't care anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
This is one of those things.
And I thought I was dead inside.
Well, this is one of the things where I have some friends who took like fanboyism and fangirlism so far that it's actually deadened me to interest to it because they were so obsessed over it that I just don't want anything to do with it anymore.
It's become like a responsibility versus an enjoyable diversion.
Yeah, well, like I said, they've just taken it so far in the extreme of wanting, you know, to cosplay up of it all the time and stuff like that, that I now have an aversion to that whole line.
Also, I didn't like Winter Soldier. True story.
I haven't seen it yet.
Everybody thinks I'm crazy when I say that. I didn't particularly like it.
I
really didn't like Iron Man 3. That was the weakest Iron Man.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the weakest, but it was still better than like Spider-Man 3.
Oh, well, yes. Well,
I mean, it was the
him and the
of
kid
three,
was a great reaction.
And I did like Iron Man 3 better than the newer, than the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, both of those are terrible.
I haven't seen the second one yet either.
Oh, the second one's so bad. Andy and I, did we see both of them together?
Yeah, no, we made the purpose. Yeah. We're going to go see the third one, too, together.
Oh, my fucking God.
It was painful enough to see the first one twice, the first 15, 20 minutes of it twice.
Yeah.
And then the second one was just everything about that movie was just so horrible. I mean, you have Paul Giamatti, who's an amazing actor, and he's playing a fucking buffoon.
Yeah.
It just, so painful.
It was not good. It was not good at all.
That's true.
But I am interested in the new Avengers trailer. I think it's...
I did see someone post that...
At this point, all I care about is more Guardians of the Galaxies.
The fact that James Spader does the voice of Ultron lends itself very well
that was
in
a
that
big
trailer.
Surprise to me. It was like I you hear the voiceover, I'm like, could they have done that for Ultron?
Well, I knew that they had him for Ultron already, but just hearing him talk, just did it well. I think. Did you just get a boner over there?
I was purposely trying to misunderstand you, and so, like, I can do that. Like, I can purposely have something be wrong in my head. So in between my ears and my brain, I converted James Spader into Christian Slater, and that would be the greatest Ultron. I want Christian Slater as Ultron now.
Zappity.
No, I want Christian Slater as Voltron.
Voltron, yeah. So as Pidge.
Spader, Ultron versus Slater, Voltron. The battle to rattle.
No. Zappity.
Rubble.
Oh, here we go. I found it. So apparently the Age of Ultron trailer syncs up perfectly with My Heart Goes On from Titanic.
Wow.
Gotta see that.
Did any of you see the AMA with Keanu Reeves and how sad he doesn't get calls to be in movies anymore?
What?
Nah.
He doesn't get calls to be in movies?
Not very often, apparently.
They might think he's just too expensive. I don't know. I obviously there's an AMA that he talked about it, but
he's had a couple solid runs, but a lot of his acting is a little wooden. Like he doesn't portray a lot of personality a lot of the time, you know?
Well, he's angry if you kill his dog.
Yes, that is fair. And I mean like one of his best roles ever was still Bill and Ted, you know.
He played Bill and Ted?
Yes.
What did Alex Winters do?
Not much.
That's a general summary of his career. Yeah. What am I going to do? Not much. There's an Onion article where it's like Alex Winters keeps calling up Keanu Reeves with great Bill and Ted 3 ideas.
Which I think is terrifying because aren't they actually working on a Bill and Ted 3?
I believe
3?
They are.
Yeah, they are. I think the problem with well, again, he probably answered in there. I think he tried really, really almost too hard to reach out to show how expansive he can be in his acting.
Well, I've heard good things about and his newest movie.
John Wick, well, it's an action flick, and you know.
Yeah, well, like, and the one clip I saw is more expression I've seen in Keanu Reeves than in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, like, so. I remember well, the first time I saw him in, and it was kind of cool because I didn't actually tell you he was in it until weeks after the trailers were out, is The Watcher.
Yeah.
He was the villain in that. And yeah. He was actually,
spoilers,
pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Well,
the
movie
is stuff like 47 Ronin, which was not good.
I heard nothing but bad from it. We should have, that would have been a nice Pain Train movie, but we started it.
It was mostly frustrating because he was obviously shoehorned into the story. Like, last minute, they're like, well, we need a big star, so cut and paste and add Keanu Reeves' character in here awkwardly and then make him the main character. Like, the movie. He doesn't exist in the actual real-life story of what happened. And if you excise him from the film entirely and nobody mentions him, the movie works perfectly fine and is much better.
But so because when they shoot him, they're going to Jar Jar him.
Well, and, like, the DVD for it doesn't even have the main character on it. It has Keanu Reeves instead, like, on the front of the cover. And on the back, none of the side pictures have the main character, and the main character isn't even mentioned.
So it's kind of similar to, like, the 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
But... That one by default, I mean, it basically, yes, it's telling it his from his point of view,
right.
but he's definitely not the main reason why.
But, I mean, in the story, he's not the main leader of the group, but he is the central protagonist as an observer. It's kind of like Bilbo isn't Thorin and Gandalf and everything. Like,
sure.
Bilbo isn't the leader of this group, but he's the central storyteller,
sure.
So he's the Hobbit. 47 Ronin wasn't even that. It's like if for some reason Feely was played by Robert De Niro, and so then he was the big guy on all the boxes. It's like Feely's tale, and no, it's not. He's not.
it's like actually having Robert De Niro's face all over the cover of Stardust, and
yeah,
he plays a very, very small role in that movie.
Yeah,
that movie's amazing, by the way. I love that movie.
Where were we? Ultron, yeah, yeah. Zappity.
If you could remake any movie with Keanu, what would it be?
Wait. Which way are they asking this? Do I take a movie and remake it and add Keanu, or is it a movie with Keanu is being remade?
If you could remake any movie with Keanu,
right.
What would it be? So I think
am
it's taking any movie,
a movie with
add,
Keanu, or am I remaking a movie
and then putting Keanu Reeves in it?
Ooh.
We need clarification. We'll get back to this question.
Oh.
It's such good. It potentially dead. That
oh
could
my
potentially
God.
Be a,
it could be amazing.
That could be an hour long podcast.
Oh, great. Oh.
Any of us participate in Extra Life? It's something that we talked about a little bit on the side of trying to do something for Extra Life.
Oh, the charity.
The charity.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to do something. I wanted to actually have like a live stream broadcast of like a Unbound game or something like that going on. It just didn't. The pieces didn't fall enough for us to do it, or even.
I still like the Nathan Rantisode idea.
Yes, Nathan Rantisode is pretty awesome, but we decided to have Nathan try to almost kill Jeremy during Extra Life, and instead.
Oh, I managed not to.
I'm not sure if I should congratulate or be mad.
Oh my god! I got real close a couple times. Like, I honestly I stopped and I thought, like, would it be funny if I just tackled him out of his chair and started strangling him under the table? And if I start, will I stop? And I couldn't honestly say no to the second one of those. Like, the first one was a yes for a while. This would be funny if I started to pretend to kill him, but I couldn't guarantee that it would continue to be a pretend.
Maybe we should have a donation jar to keep Jeremy alive.
Yeah.
Excellent. It was like, we're at hour 5 and there's no money in the jar. I'm sorry.
There's a choice. We will kill this rabbit or we will keep Jeremy alive. You will choose.
So then somebody asked. So that's Ebony Grumble. Who's the most broken? Who's the boss combination from Vengeance Exigence?
I haven't really looked at it very much.
I haven't done too much thought. So far, the best I've come up with has been Helga and Crix.
I just I think Abby in other
the
factions
slam
would
on
be
things
pretty...
like Satixis that can hit you from a mile and a half away or
after they dashed.
Yeah, after they dashed. Yeah, that's
and their defended warden.
Dash yeah. Satixis just walking around things to then oh yeah, that could be bad.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the only reason
plus,
why
don't forget they have two slams.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be really bad.
Yeah, I think Abby too would be pretty sexy in any other faction. It'd be kind of neat to see her.
She's already got some pretty top notch stuff to put that with.
Yeah, well, I know, but I mean, like in different factions,
fortify
too.
Plus the stone, and then giving like yeah. reach and flight and plus two speed and plus two mat to Earthborns.
that's fair. I don't see why they'd do that now.
That would be pretty good.
I guess it's just we're gonna have to see it on the table more so. I mean, it's
yeah. There's a lot of weird things like. Taking Borka and dropping him in any faction that has like real fury control or management, because he could do some really bad things with that feat. So you take Epic Borka, drop him in Legion instead.
Yeah. So on a side note, if you guys out there are ever going to plan a who's the boss and you're not going to use our errata, just use common sense. Things like Rulic Warcaster, things like can only put constructs in my battle group. That doesn't pertain to who's the boss.
Well,
because
yeah, yeah.
You can't take that literally, because otherwise somebody will roll up Radagast and then they're like, oh, I can put my Warjacks in this battle group.
The other big one was that we changed Carver's feet to be friendly faction.
Correct.
To be,
yeah.
Instead of being friendly Pharaoh.
Yeah, that was meant, I assumed that they might have something like a 4-star syndicate.
No, they said they never will. It's just so, like, he doesn't benefit Gudrun and whatnot.
Yeah,
I mean, none of the current ones in Thornfall seem like they'd be broken if they were weapon masters, but, I mean, they have said multiple times they're not going to have a 4-star style. Well, they do have a 4-star style minions pack. It's called Scorn.
Oh, true. True, or some of their theme forces tend to bring in things from the other side, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
But as a general rule, they're not going to have that.
Yeah. It's just, use common sense when figuring out the rules there. And there's some things that we have in our FAQ for a reason, because they are way too complicated to try to put in things. So like Force Matrix on Nemo.
Yeah.
It's, no. Just don't figure it out. Zabity.
Rumble.
Caden says that Hordes was announced at Gen Con 2005.
All right, so this one.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I said this would be the 10-year anniversary of the announcement.
If they're doing an announcement of the... But it was then released
there's a good
April.
Chance of it for TempleCon, then.
The announcement. At the keynote speech, yes. Mm-hmm. And then it could come out in 16.
Best caster you hate to play?
Against or with?
You hate to play. Best caster you hate to play.
Oh, okay. So
that doesn't answer my question.
Well, I think the intent is the caster that you play and you don't like playing because they're really good.
Oh.
Either really good, or takes the fun out of the game. You know, like some people really like to play Haley too.
People are wrong.
Then somebody should be checked. That should be the true check of a serial killer. Is like, did you cry at Up in the first like 20 minutes of Up? And do you like playing Haley 2?
Or Haley 1.
Or Haley 1.
Do you enjoy playing as a Haley caster?
Sorry, Lust. You're doomed.
If no is the both of them, then...
Oh, it's both? Okay.
Yeah.
Luckily, I play Pigs, so I don't have anybody anybody that's, you know, overly powerful, and I love playing all of them.
I don't like fielding Epic Magic very often. It's either a combination of not having the right mindset, or he just seems bland to me.
Oh man, I loved Epic Madrak when I played Trolls.
It's not my thing. I'm all about Jarl. Jarl's the man.
Yeah, he didn't exist back then. We had to make do with our melee lists.
Uh-huh.
The closest we had to guns were
Grim was still out at that point.
Grim had a gun, and then we had scatter gunners without the UA.
And Grim could use those.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeehaw!
I almost want Grim 1's feet back.
No.
His
new feet is way better.
His new feet is way better.
I just want it to be more complicated.
Yeah, no.
I want to pick this point, and then you have to do a circle around
Your
it.
Answer is wrong, sir.
Yeah.
I want a compass, and somebody has to pull out a sextant.
A sextant? Do you know what a sextant is?
Yes, it's what you use to map stars.
You thought it was the tent they have sex in?
Yes, the sextant. Yes.
I want a sextant.
Yeah. Don't you already have one?
Sex robot, sex robot.
Zappity.
Grumble.
How do you deal with a bad commission paint job? Is it acceptable to ask for a refund?
I'd recommend getting a second opinion on the paint job before you do that, just to make sure your standards aren't...
I work in close proximity with my commission painter so that I'm able to give feedback as it's going
on. Yeah,
yeah, but not everybody's got that luxury, though.
That's true.
Well, I mean, you have to do research on the person that's painting your stuff, and ask for updates. Yeah. You know, they should be able to give you updates here and there. If it's not something you like, you just have to tell them, because And you have to tell them early, because otherwise...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. More feedback, the more often you're touching base, the more often you're checking. You know, even if it's just photos, it won't be perfect, but, I mean, the more often you can give feedback, the better your final quality will be.
Yeah, it's like going in for a haircut. You know, if you let them finish and then you don't say you don't like it, there's only so many options you have. Yeah.
And it also kind of depends also, like, is this somebody... Like, it's a one-time commission, like, you heard good things and you did it once, or is this somebody that's painted stuff for you before and they just screwed up this one?
Yeah.
You know, because you're gonna handle that differently. You're going to just be like, Andy, dude, seriously, what happened this time?
Come on. I sneezed.
You don't like doing eyes, so you just bought some of those plastic googly eyes and put them on?
Oh, I've got a whole big bag of those.
That would be amazing.
Those are going on Exxon.
I saw a Legion Army that had googly eyes on every model, and that was awesome.
Yeah, Jellius with big googly eyes.
Googly eyes and fake mustaches.
Proteus was also amazing with that.
God, seriously, Proteus, so good.
But yeah, you just, to prevent a bad commission job, you really have to be proactive with the painter. And generally, I don't think a painter's going to hate it unless it's something that you waited until after you got the models, had them for
a while.
I would
say the other thing is, if possible, don't do, you know, I'm going to drop off this entire army and then 4 months later I'm going to pick it up and this will be the first time we've touched base, you know.
Yeah.
If you can batch it up, also much better, because then once again, you can react, you can provide feedback, you know.
Yeah. And if it's, like, one model and they're normally good, again, like I said, like, don't be afraid to be like, this color scheme, maybe touch this up. Because if you can get the one good, then going forward to the bigger ones, so, you know, like Dan said, don't give them it all at once. Like, test the waters. And, yes, you can ask for your money back if it sucks.
Yeah.
They may not oblige you, but you can ask.
You can ask.
Yeah.
Give them the model. Say, here you go. If you think it's good, you can have it as a showpiece.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the other thing is, you know, if you don't buy like the model, you might just have to say, I'm not sure if I want to pay for this, but I also am not going to take the product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it was your model to start off with.
Well, even if it was. I mean, it was one thing if it's like a $10, you know, warrior model versus a warjack.
Yeah, I suppose you could take the same figure and just turn it around and resell it. There's a chance somebody else may
You
like
could.
It.
You could just eBay it as a painted model.
Zappity.
Grumble.
That's something off air I'll have to talk about. So would you play a spell draft? Who's the boss?
That's one of those ideas that sounds great, but I mean, we had two people clock themselves because they couldn't remember and they were having trouble keeping track of cards from five factions they didn't play.
Yeah, and it's basically the
closest we got was the one where you're going to spin the wheel twice and get one caster's stat card and one caster's spell card.
Yeah.
But at least that would be a solid spell card and not the draft. And even that would be crazy.
It would just take way too long for the draft. It's already complicated enough anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be just confusing for the opponent because then they see the one figure and then they go like, wait, now what is happening?
Well, it'd be one thing too if you got like, you know, all right, we have eight people here. We're going to do a Who's the Boss spell draft. But, you know, casters are going to stay the entire eight-person pod. We're going to draft once, and we're going to play three games of it. That wouldn't be so bad, but every round switching everything up,
the other way around, draft once, and then spin the casters.
Yeah,
wouldn't necessarily,
or something like that. But it's one of those things that does not scale at all.
No, yeah. Eight would be the most people. I mean, thinking like if you want to do it with two people, where you randomized a caster and would like, but not a full event. That'd be insane. Very diminishing returns on the fun.
Zappity.
We're almost done here. So do you guys find it different streaming live with video versus traditional podcasting?
This week I've ignored the camera, except to look at it a couple times when telling anecdotes like this one.
Yeah. I barely acknowledge its existence.
Right. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I think that's the way we have to do it. Otherwise you get freaked out. Right. Dan's been pretty much the focal point for this entire podcast, though, because he's in the center. But yeah, no, I... Just ignore it.
What we need to do is like pay to have like somebody in a gorilla costume walk past the door like one time during the podcast, and then like somebody just juggling or whatever. Like, just there's a whole lot of plot going on out there.
Yeah.
And just not acknowledge it. Not acknowledge it at all.
Oh, that's the best type of jokes, is when you don't acknowledge that something that's going on around you.
Yeah. It'd be a game for the viewers. It's like, it was Carmen Sandiego, I saw her! And just tilts her fedora and then leaves.
Just see somebody walk by the door like, oh, I saw it, it's a steamroller beta!
Like, I wonder if anybody saw when Brian peeked in. Probably didn't.
Mm. Did you guys see Brian peek in?
Well, I did. I'm wondering if the viewers did.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't want to see it. There was no pants.
And that's it. That's basically it. Basically some other comments about escalating for trying not to kill Jeremy. Like $5 for a poke, $10 for a light slap, $50 for a nipple twist.
We could fundraise that way. That's good charity, man.
Yeah, I think so.
We never got to our Keanu Reeves remakes.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Silence of the Lambs. He plays Hannibal Lecter.
I don't think we can compete with that.
Episode 1 with him as Jar Jar.
No. No. No.
Episode 1, he's Anakin and nobody acknowledges the fact that he's a 45-year-old man.
Like, I like that.
He's
better.
50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He aged well.
He has.
Mm. Well, when you're made of rock and cardboard.
What? Wow.
What? Jeez. That's just mean.
Yep, well, half of that is. I mean, if you told somebody they're made out of rock, you know.
Yeah.
Stacked. The cardboard part's demeaning.
True.
You just get wet, you just shrivel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like telling somebody you're made out of pretty and stupid. Like, well,
As a lovable actor like Keanu Reeves, I think I might be towing a line here. Evil Dead. The Evil Dead trilogy. With Keanu Reeves playing the part of Ash.
Like,
it could take it to
like,
a whole,
you know,
new...
The, like, blood sprays out of the walls or whatever, and he just goes, whoa.
Yeah. It would be like a stoner goes to a cabin in the woods.
They have that. It's called Cabin in the Woods.
I'm just picturing the Bruce Campbell cameo in the remake of his own movie with someone else playing him.
Yeah. He wasn't in the Evil Dead remake.
No.
Was he?
No.
Are you saying no to something else?
No, I just popped in my head. Being John Malkovich.
Just being Keanu Reeves.
Being Keanu Reeves.
God, that movie's so good, being John Malkovich. Oh. I just want to go watch that again.
Yeah. So
like that's somebody having fun at their own expense. Like I salute John Malkovich for that movie.
You read or listened to the audio commentary on that.
Yeah.
The guy that has a say card because he threw a can at Malkovich.
Yeah. Like this,
there's this guy that throws a empty soda can or beer can at Malkovich.
Yeah.
Heads up, Malkovich, and hits him in the head. Completely unscripted,
but because he spoke, he has a speaking role in the film, which not only like doubled his pay, but qualified him for a SAG card.
Yeah,
he's in the Screen Actors Guild Union because he spoke in a film.
Yeah, because they wanted to keep it because it was so good.
Yeah.
All right, so we should probably get to our recommendations, because we're coming close on to 2 hours. And
I'll start, because I have two recommendations, but I forgot one of them. And the one that I remember, I don't actually know anything about, but I'm going to blind really recommend it, because
so we've got two halves of recommendation we have to put them together?
This is a full, legit recommendation, but I'm doing it on blind faith, because it's at like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes and like 8 out of 10 on IMDb, and I need to recommend it this episode, because you need it for Halloween, which is that there's an independent New Zealand horror comedy called Housebound, about this woman who has legal problems, so she's like put under house arrest with her mom, and it turns out their house is haunted, and it's supposed to be goddamn fucking amazing. And if I know anything about New Zealand horror comedies like Black Sheep, I know
not,
the New
not
Zealand
the Chris Farley one.
No, the New Zealand horror comedy Black Sheep. Like I trust. So this movie, I trust the industry. I trust the fact that it's got stellar reviews from every source whatsoever, and it's on like Amazon. It's not on Netflix for free. You'd have to pay like $5 to Amazon or somebody to stream it, but you should watch it for Halloween. I'm gonna spend the $5 and watch it, but since I won't be able to tell people next week to watch it this Halloween, I'm blindly recommending it this week.
I'm gonna recommend similar from the same area a Halloween film that they need to watch, and that is Undead.
Yes. Yeah.
Australian? Was
that Australian? Yeah, that's Australian. That's not New Zealand, it's Australia. But same. Not the same people. I'm sure that that's, you know, probably offensive to both countries when they listen. But
Undead is it's a zombie film. And you need to watch the whole thing to get it.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite stupid lines in a movie, but it'd be a gigantic spoiler to mention it, so I won't. But I do like the guy that always whips out two pistols. Every time there's trouble, he just whips out two pistols and shoots at everything. And then there's a scene where they're all naked, and like a zombie shows up, and he just whips out two pistols and starts shooting at the zombie. And everybody's just like, what?
Yeah, that movie is... It is very good.
It's very stupid.
Yeah, very stupid, but it actually has a pretty decent plot to it. It's not like Sharknado stupid.
No.
You know, it's actually engrossing in that regards.
Right. But it definitely has a naked man whipping out two pistols.
Yes, and it has some obnoxious action sequences in it, yeah.
But, well, I didn't say that was a bad thing.
No. I wasn't that bad either.
All right. My recommendation, X-Wing and TIE Fighter are both hitting Good Old Games tomorrow.
Ooh.
$10 each.
Ooh.
What?
X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
On Good Old Games?
Yep. Oh. Yeah. It's supposed to be tomorrow.
Ooh.
Good stuff.
Which is making it even more difficult because I'm already resisting buying Beyond Earth before War Machine Weekend. Now I got something else. Which, although I can't find the USB joystick at my house right now, which is the only thing that may keep me from buying those right away.
I unpacked my GameCube and I realized that I have Rogue Squadron for it, so I've been playing that a little bit. It's been good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
I'm gonna recommend another movie. I'm hoping to get the name right too, because I got to watch it when I was already half in the tank. But Skeleton of Kadabra,
the Lost Skeleton of Kadabra.
Kadabra. Okay.
The Lost Skeleton of Kadabra. Yes.
Yeah, I saw it for the first time Saturday night, and I was laughing the entire time.
That's one of those movies I used to force people to watch, and I just haven't in the last few years.
It's a hard sell. Like,
it is
like,
a hard
picture
sell.
Picture a 50s science fiction movie, but they know it's a 50s science fiction-y movie.
Well, the people in the movie, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it is an MST3K movie. It is a shitty Roger Corman movie,
sure,
with the,
yeah,
except on purpose it's like that.
Is it right. Actually Roger Corman doing
no,
it?
No. That but it's that amazing style of movie.
Okay. Yeah, the movie is like 2006, I think. It's okay. Not old.
It's not. Oh, but God, the skeleton's one of my favorite characters. Everything. Like, I still every once in a while to go, that's how stupid you are. I sleep now.
Well, there's a scene where there's basically the skeleton like resting on some rocks, and they're basically yoinking the strings, like climb down the rocks like I do.
Yes, that's such a good line. Animala, who is half human, half seven different forest creatures.
Yeah. But that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it does.
Doesn't add up.
I have to make a skeleton meteor with a crowbar and lettuce. Oh, it's you, the stupid one. Oh, I'm going to go watch that movie again now.
Please, have a seat. Bend in the middle.
Yes, I agree. Okay. Always agree. Always agree.
Always agree.
All right, so
did you remember your other recommendation?
Mutant. Mutilate. I wonder. Nope, I'm just going to quote Lost Skeleton of Kadabra for the next or the rest of time.
All right. So, where we call it the end.
Yeah, I can't remember the other recommendation. I'll do it next week.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Zappity.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
Later.
Bye.